Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet. Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, October 5th, 2010, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host, Lavendar. This week, Lavendar continues the story of her experiences on planet Earth with her chapter called Galactic Demonstrations. As her story unfolds, you'll learn, as she did, about the many methods that ETs use to interact in our lives. We're presenting this information in a continuing series, starting with our show called Crack Between the Worlds, which aired on September 18th. We hope you make the time to listen to any you may have missed in the archives and then join us each week as the Chronicle progresses. Before others were even channeling ET information, Lavendar was living the demonstrations of galactic operations. Her true life story includes more than just contact with ETs. She's had high-level involvement in their projects and their countless demonstrations of how they operate. Her story today includes one of her adventures with Frank Sinatra, as well as how she was taught about invisibility and other occurrences of high strangeness. During all of her assignments and demonstrations, one of her tasks has always been to chronicle her experiences and track the energy. After the story, we welcome your comments or questions, and please be mindful of others who will also be waiting with questions. We'd like to thank Sierra for co-hosting in the chat room today for those who can't call in with questions. For those who can, the call-in number is 917-889-8292, and then press 1 if you have something to say. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/Starseed Radio Academy. Also today, we're going to hear a galactic story from Melissa, who will be calling in. And also, starting this week, we have a segment on health called Belvelations with our good friend Belva Bloomer. Before I introduce Lavendar, I'd like to mention that if you register for free here at blogtalkradio.com and click the little red heart on our podcast player or the word follow, you'll get an email notice when our next show is coming in case we don't know you yet. All of our past shows are available on demand at blogtalkradio.com/Starseed Radio Academy. If you're new to our show, you've missed a lot of chapters, but they're still available for you to catch up. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of fascinating and necessary information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge, like Lavendar's discovery of star markings, Solar Returns, Your 10 Hours of Power, the Teton Reports, and also Starseed Booby Traps. It's a free internet classroom library for Starseed. We also have an archive of past teleconferences you can hear on our headline news page. Just click the scrolling banner on the top of the main page, and it takes you to the headline news page. Once you're there, near the bottom of the page, you can also find the video slideshow where Lavendar tells the details about her discovery of star markings and the Pleiadian lineup, where she spent 2 days in the Great Pyramid with the Pleiadian ship overhead conducting a giant walk-in procedure. It's a spellbinding story. You can see the pictures on our main site. Just go down the list of links on the left of any page and click Magical Moments Caught on Film. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com, and that's starseedhotline.ning.com. I'll be introducing Lavendar in just a moment, but first I'd also like to mention that she has written 2 books for Starseed, which are now available as e-books on our site. The first one, 50 Questions and Answers, is a transmission from the Antares Arcturus Midway Station, where she had the opportunity to ask 50 profound questions and be answered clearly and truthfully by Silavon, an ascended guardian of this galaxy. The second e-book, Quartz Crystals, A Celestial Point of View, is a comprehensive guide for the starseed use of crystals, including solar star dates for the next 10 years for charging crystals with galactic frequency. These books are a must-read for starseed to understand the galactic big picture and your part in it. If you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. If you'd like to learn about the new device that disables unsupportive implants, relieves pain, and resets your energy, call our toll-free number or email Lavendar at lavendar@starseedhotline.com. And the correct spelling is L-A-V-A-N-D-A-R at starseedhotline.com. And now it's time to introduce Lavendar with a few comments before she continues with her remarkable story, Crack Between the Worlds. Lavendar, welcome again to
the
show.
Thank you so much. And I want to thank everyone for the emails and the phone calls from my friends encouraging me to go forward with these stories. And it makes it a lot easier when I do hear from people because, you know, I counted them the other day. There's 104 high events that I can talk about in this series. So the more I hear from you, the more encouragement I get to, you know, dig deep into the vault and pull them out. So I just want to thank everyone. So with that, I guess we're ready to go to our next segment.
We will continue with this week's episode called Galactic Demonstrations as a chapter of our story called Crack Between the Worlds.
All through that period in Las Vegas, I guess that was from 75 to 79, I had all these ET experiences. One of their favorite teaching tools was to bring this orange ball and let it run on the floor. Traveling from room to room was this little orange ball of light. If I would have company or take somebody home with me, it would just scare the bejesus out of them. Also, I had a TV that would come on even when it was not plugged into the wall. It would just come on by itself. A lot of my friends witnessed this. There was a continual ET trickster fun stuff that was happening around the house all those years in Vegas. If the things that were happening to me in Vegas weren't enough, there was the Lake Mead experience. Oh, this was a big one. There were these beings standing and walking on water. They frolicked in the sunshine doing their Jesus thing while several of us watched in amazement. My artist friend, George Taylor, painted a picture of this event, which still hangs in my office today. By the way, I've been trying to find George Taylor, who used to be the photographer for the Cashman Brothers in Vegas. If anyone knows how to find him, please contact me. I have run out of leads trying to find him. I can say without hesitation that 1977 was really the big ET year for me. There were lots of extraterrestrial demonstrations. I've already mentioned the orange ball, the unplugged television, and walking on water thing. The best and most dynamic was yet to come. It started when Belva Bloomer told me about a man named George Van Tassel. George was a UFO contee and a mechanical engineer who in 1958 commenced building the Integraton, close to the desert town of Landers, California, just north of Desert Hot Springs. The Integraton is a dome-shaped structure constructed out of plywood and fiberglass and designed as a rejuvenation machine to recharge and rejuvenate people's cells. The Integraton was built following instructions provided by extraterrestrial visitors. The Integraton was also a dome, a time machine type of device that was partially built upon the theories of Nikola Tesla. The Integraton was, however, not without its risk. According to George's theory, an overcharge could make a person spontaneously combust or even explode. It was built outside of Landers, California, in the desert at a place called Giant Rock. Belva and her husband Vernon took me there to meet George and Doris, his wife. Our friendship was instantaneous, and we had bondings that, well, can only happen through some type of soul connection. we got along famously. Belva, Vernon, and I made several trips to Giant Rock, I think about five, before George showed me the Integraton and told me how the space beings had come to him. I started really understanding about space beings through George. He was my first official teacher. Around the same time that I met George and Doris Van Tassel, I also met Frank Sinatra. We met at Caesar's Palace and we became very chummy. He had just finished a television movie called Contract on Cherry Street. This was Frank Sinatra's TV movie debate, an event as Frank, well, gloated and deemed worthy of a TV Guide cover story. Frank played a New York detective, deputy inspector called Frank Havonis, in charge of a special unit set up to battle organized crime. The murder of Havonis' partner, coupled with departmental restrictions and legalities, leads the inspector to organize a semi-vigilante group with three other like-minded officers. They murder an underworld honcho in hopes of triggering a mob war that will result in the dissemination of five mob leaders in the Big Apple. Old Blue Eyes was at his best. Anyway, Frank and I had horse racing in common, and he made a lot of money off my horse racing tips, so I became a regular whenever he was in Vegas. Also, a client of mine, who looked like Mara Farah, she was also in the mix and had a torrid sexual adventures with Frank that definitely made me blush as she described their encounters. One day, I brought some of my Texas chili to Caesar's, and he loved it so much that he invited me to go down to his house in Palm Springs to cook this recipe. He sent a jet plane to fly me down there. Now, this was a trip that I was never going to forget, and I journaled it after I got home. Today's the first time I've released this story, except to a few personal friends. When I arrived at Frank's house, I found Gregory Peck chasing the maid, and Spiro Agnew, stoned on marijuana, lying on a pillow in the corner as he couldn't get up, so he just smoked more than passed out and was asleep the entire day. Frank had five TVs brought into the room for his five special friends that were there. What was so funny about his five special guests watching this movie on television was that the movie was actually about these five people that were sitting in the room. He had invited five mafia bosses to his house. Frank thought it would be really funny to show them how he was going to catch them and put them in jail. A big joke. Suddenly, it dawned on me what was happening, and I was just petrified. I thought, oh my God, what am I doing here? That will always be a highlight of my experience, seeing how much fun Frank had showing this movie, Contract on Cherry Street, and serving Texas chili as these five mafia bosses watched themselves being chased by Frank playing his character as a detective. The other part of this story is that my parents were visiting me at the time in Vegas when I got the call to fly down to Frank's. They were upset that I left, but Belva took care of them while I was gone. When I came back and told them about the five mafia bosses, my dad, who was also a district judge, said, "Please don't tell anybody you did this. Bless his heart, the things I put this man through." Palm Springs is really close to Giant Rock, so I was making a lot of trips down there in 1977. This was the same year that Frank's mother was killed in a plane crash, which I always thought was suspicious, and so did Frank. Around this time, he was also trying to make a decision about Manchurian Candidate, a movie that he'd made back in 1963, but was shelved after the Kennedy assassination, as he also owned the movie rights to this movie. Frank knew a lot about mind control, and we had many discussions about this, especially about his knowingness about the workings of the CIA and FBI, and of course the Bush connection. He told me things that I still don't talk about. His daughter Tina released another version of Manchurian Candidate and brought it up to speed with today's technology and showed the inner workings on mind control and how it played with politicians. This movie was out during the 2004 presidential campaign, and I got to witness firsthand how implants were put in place and how many agendas were controlled through this method. More about that later when I disclose other ET experiments with Washington, D.C. and the White House. During this time, as I was being told about extraterrestrials and space beings, I could feel there was a shift in consciousness happening to me. Even though I was on a quest to find out what happened to Jim, I wanted to know more and more. I thought if I could find out what happens after death, I'd have it all together. My life wasn't simple anymore. I started having very strange experiences, like I'd go to the race book at noon before I started my sessions, and I would place some bets. I had a girlfriend named Judy who worked with Belva as a manicurist. I called her and told her to meet me at the race book exactly at noon, and we would bet the horses before we went to work. I showed up, but she didn't, so I went ahead and placed my bets, and I left. Later that day, I called her and asked why she was a no-show, and she said, "I was there. Where were you?" "No, you weren't," I answered. This race book is a really small place. I mean, you could shoot a shotgun off and hit everyone in there, so I knew that we couldn't have missed each other. They say that the proof's in the pudding. Well, whatever the hell that means, but Judy proved her point. She showed me her ticket, and our tickets had been stamped exactly 1 minute apart. I couldn't get over how one of us, or both of us, had been made invisible. This really started to bug me, and it confused me, as I couldn't put it together. This invisible no-show thing happened to me many times after that day, and every time it happened, you know what? I thought I was losing my mind. All of this high strangeness started happening to me, and I wasn't in control of any of it. I had to go with the galactic flow. Harvey Bevere was a galactic healer who was a friend of Belva's. He would come into town every 6 weeks, and I would work with him at Belva's beauty shop called The Lash. Belva and I would watch him work on people and perform healing miracles, one right after another. I didn't know it then, but he was activating starseed bloodlines in ways that I wouldn't discover until years later. I spent a lot of years with Harvey, but Belva is the one that has all the Harvey experiences under her belt, and I hope that she gets the opportunity to share these stories, as he was one of the most incredible beings that I ever knew or would ever know. When I was in his presence, I would experience missing time, knowing not or where I had been. This was a given. There was this one time when Harvey and I were driving east on Sahara, and a car coming from the west came right towards us, and we were suspended in the air, and the car seemed to go right through us, so the car would unexplainably be moved out of the way, and everybody was not the worse for it. All these experiences were very strange, and at the time, no real explanation behind them. But as the years passed, I began to understand that I was in training, and that I was being taught reality versus non-reality. Here is one of my favorite mind games. I'd be in a group of people talking about places that we'd been and things we'd done, and then someone would say, "Well, you weren't there." Good old invisible trick again. I would think to myself, "Oh my God, how come I was invisible and no one saw me?" Years later, I finally found out the answer. "Oh my God, how come I was invisible and no one sees me?" Well, that was the training for major assignments. When I had an important galactic assignment to accomplish, and which required being invisible, they would use this tool of invisibility. It worked every time. They used this tool on many assignments where I had to complete a certain task, and being invisible made it easy to carry out what I needed to achieve. And to think all of this wonderful training and how to become invisible in a room all started out that day at the race book betting on the bobtail nag. As I changed, my sessions changed. I no longer prepared a full astrological chart. I could write down my client's birth information, look at their planets, and I would key into their immediate need or happening. I could also feel a presence in the room with my clients and me. I knew that my energies were slowly shifting as evidence of more extraterrestrial communication started happening. And this started to become a problem, so I moved my office out of Belva's salon and began working from my duplex, which had a special office attached to the back. I needed more sacred space for my clients. When Close Encounters of the Third Kind came out, the premiere was in Las Vegas. George Van Tassel had been one of the technical advisors on that film. So he called and asked Belva, Vernon, and me to attend with them. They premiered the movie on the day that Mercury had gone retrograde. All right, here's a quick astrology lesson. For those of you who know about Mercury retrograde, then bear with me. For those who don't, then here's a short lesson about the stars. The word retrograde applies in astrology to the backward motion through the zodiac of a planet. An old encyclopedia of astrology describes this retrograde motion as the effect of a slow-moving train is viewed from another train traveling parallel to it but at a more rapid rate, wherein the slower train appears to be moving backwards. However, in the case of celestial bodies, it is not a matter of their actual speed or travel, but of the rate at which the change happens with their angular relationship. All the planets except the Sun and Moon have these retrograde periods, but Mercury is most famous of them because, well, probably because Mercury represents communication and people's abilities. While people speak of Mercury retrograde periods that screw up computers and television sets, and perhaps on a personal realm, even their lives, Mercury rules communications, but more informal communications like writing, speaking, short shopping sprees, and other demanding endeavors. So while Mercury is retrograde, you just don't buy mechanical devices, don't give that party, be extra aware of what you say, what you interpret when chatting with or writing to friends. You cut back on errands, expect the check that will be in the mail longer than usual. Since the car is usually used for shopping and errands, don't be surprised if the battery wire loosens or the fan belt snaps just when you have to rush out for that one ingredient you forgot to buy. Let the cars rattle or that annoying noise go until Mercury goes direct. The best things to do when Mercury is retrograde, you know, is to meditate, contemplate, edit the book, poem, song, essay you've been writing, clean house, talk to your pet, listen to music, paint, or just catch up on your sleep. Enough of Mercury retrograde. Back to George Van Tassel, Doris, Belva, Vernon, and me in Close Encounters of the Third Kind premiere in Las Vegas, the day that, of course, Mercury had gone retrograde. We were sitting in the theater, and I turned to George and said that Mercury had just gone retrograde, and I told him there's no telling what's going to happen when they start the film. It might break. Steven Spielberg was there with all the actors, so things were this was a place for disaster. The lights dimmed and the film rolled. They had just started the movie when the film broke. He nudged me and said, yeah, Mercury's retrograde and there's no telling who else is here, and we laughed. As it would happen, the film broke three more times at critical points in the movie. The codes in the film were awesome. I thought, wow, this is a message, especially when the ship came over and played those harmonic notes. George leaned over and said, this is just the beginning. I asked what he meant, and he said, this movie will launch the other movies that will come, and it wouldn't surprise me if you were going to be involved in it somehow. I said, oh yeah, sure. As it turned out, Steven Spielberg, all the actors, George, Doris, Belva, Vernon, and me, weren't the only ones at the movie premiere. It seemed that they were there also observing themselves in the movie. I later got to view this from the spacecraft as this was recorded and was shown to me as being a link to my future. They have a storehouse of recorded events of me and have shown these to me when my memory sometimes gets erased. This is an awesome occurrence. From the first moment that I met George, I noticed him studying me. He was around me twice. Before he really started warming up to me, he'd say little things to me and see how I'd react. This was the spiritual galactic foreplay to determine how much information I could handle. He would ask me a lot of questions about my belief systems. I sensed by his attitude toward me that information had been revealed to George about me. Once he was convinced who I was, he and Doris made many trips to Vegas to see me, and although it was in a social atmosphere, they both were training me. He would also find reasons for me to go to Giant Rock and sit for periods of time inside the rock. Almost every time I'd go there, I'd have missing time. Strange things would happen. It was so George knew something about me, but just hadn't told me yet.
Well,
Well, that is our segment on galactic demonstrations for this week, and we will be continuing this story 2 weeks from tonight. And right now, before we go any farther, Lavendar, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Well, yeah, it was just a very exciting time. About the invisibility part, that really played into several assignments that I was given. And I understood it, you know, I didn't understand at the beginning how that worked, but then as I got into the groove of doing different things, I had to be places and do things where I simply couldn't be seen.
Well, can you tell us, was this some kind of a shield or force field that they put around you where obviously, I mean, you could see yourself.
Yes.
You could see your own hand in that, but other people just couldn't see you.
That's right.
So you were virtually invisible to them.
Yeah, I was invisible to others, not to myself. That's true. It's very true.
And they use some kind of technology to achieve
yes,
that?
Yes, this is a technology they use all the time. All the time. It's how they walk around among us. They walk around among us all the time and do things because no one can ever see them. You know,
and have you gotten to the point where you can do it at your own will, or does it take their intervention?
It takes their intervention.
Because they have the technology.
They have the technology. But I have also, but my technology has to be attuned to the technology that it's hooked up to.
Okay, so it's like a two-way circuit that
yes,
has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They can't just, you know, pop in and make anybody invisible.
That's right. That's right. And by the way, you said 2 weeks from tonight. Weren't we going to try to do something on Monday next week when we were in Arkansas?
We're going to try.
Okay.
We don't know what we're going to have available to work with.
Okay.
So I was just kind of being on the safe side. I mean, definitely 2 weeks from tonight. But
yeah.
We're going to try to broadcast. We're going to be in Hot Springs, Arkansas for the 10-10-10 crystal activation. And we'd love to broadcast, if we can, on Monday night. So we'll just have to
okay.
let you know once we get there if we're going to be able to do that.
Right. Okay.
Right now we have another guest that we'd like to bring on, named Melinda, and she has a great story for us. Let me just get her online here.
Okay, good.
Hello.
Hello.
Melinda, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
And I know we're looking forward to hearing your story. Lavendar has already heard it, but I have not. So, Lavendar, do you want to give a little introduction?
No, go. Just Melinda, just start talking. Just start telling us your story.
Okay. Well, Lavendar asked me to come on the show after I shared with her my life experience when I was reading the book called The Expected One by Kathleen McGowan, because she said so many listeners were reading it. What happened was when I had my starseed reading with Lavendar, her exact words were, "Something in you needs to snap, crackle, and pop." and I knew that, you know, for me to move forward with some of the things that I'm up to. So she suggested that I read this book, and I ran out that night and got it. And if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. It's awesome. When I was reading it, you know, I kept wondering, what's going to happen to me? And I didn't really notice anything special, but what I did notice was that I absolutely fell in love with Mary Magdalene. I could feel her inside of me. It was one of those weird things. And Jesus actually comes to me as a mentor, so I've always felt really close to that spirit. And then one morning, I was out of town for some training, and I had just gotten to the part of the book called The Period of Darkness. And that day at training, somebody was doing aura pictures, and I decided to do one. Well, the woman doing the readings just happened to mention to me that her spirit guide was the Great Mary, the Virgin Mary. And she looked at my picture, and she looked at me, and she looked back at the picture, and she goes, "Well, look who's standing there on your left side." It was Mary Magdalene. And she told me that she was my spirit guide. And then there was a woman behind her holding the anointing oils, and then a couple more women behind her, and then there were some crusaders in the picture. The whole picture was, like, totally awesome. And she kept saying that, you know, all she was hearing was, this is you prior to the period of darkness. And she looked at me and she said, I don't know what that means, the period of darkness. But she just sat there and started crying. And she goes, all I keep hearing is, this is you, this is you, this is you. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? And she goes, I don't know. And she just cried. So I came back and I contacted a friend of mine who lives in Indiana who actually channels and works closely with Jesus. And he's, you know, coincidentally, he's involved with women's empowerment and moving beyond the patriarchal teachings and has asked me to help him. And here's what he said about the picture. He said, this is you. You embody the spirit as Mary did. This is why she's with you. You embody the spirit of creation, and you should use the oils to help empower you. Keep opening up to Mary and work with the goddess energy. The oils will help. The lady was crying because you are a flow of that grace, spirit of Mary, the goddess. A few weeks prior to that, I had an aura picture taken, and there was this little white thing sticking out of my side, which I thought was like a little wing. And then I found out later it was a white dove feather. And then a week later I had a soul retrieval and found out that I have a white dove as a lifetime power animal. And, of course, Jesus' pet name for Mary was Little Dove, which I was so touched by in the book. So that's basically what happened to me.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Great story.
God, I have chills running all up and down as you were talking, or just one right after the other.
Well, there's a funny joke between my friends over the past few years that, you know, I won't be happy with a partner in my life until he drops from the sky with a robe. And I'm like, well, now I have something to back that up. So anyway, but it was really awesome because it helps me to get a different perspective on what's going on with me.
Good. And let me ask you this, Melinda. As you were reading the book and really engrossed in it, did you have the feeling that before you turned the page, you knew what was going to happen on the next page?
You know, I didn't. You know, I kept hoping that would happen for me, but it didn't. I just,
okay.
You know, I was so fascinated in the story, and again, I could feel Mary inside of me when
yeah.
I was reading it. There was something about her. I just had this fascination and this great love with her. That's the thing that really tugged at me when I was reading the book.
Well, a lot of people had told me. I've had several emails with, you know, different experiences reading the book. But when you read it, then you know you were there. It's a knowing that happens. It's a deep knowing. It's the way that she wrote the expected one, it's coded. Every page is coded with information that's ready for the DNA to snap in people's soul memories and their blood memories. And, of course,
yeah,
the bloodline of Jesus is all over the planet now.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm still snapping.
Yeah, I imagine. And if anyone else is listening and they would like to call in and tell us your story, we would love to hear them. Love to hear any you know, feedback that we get from any of your experiences that you want to share with our group.
Lavendar, I'm curious, when you did Melinda's chart, did you see the pattern that you have seen?
Oh, yes. She had of course all the markings that I've been tracking this 25, 26, 27 degrees and all the Piscean Virgo aspects that I'm finding. Well, this group, it's a soul group that comes in together, and they seem to be somehow hooking up with me and some of the people that I know. It's just kind of a boomerang thing that's happening. And I'm also finding that a lot of people that were in France during that time were also, before that, in Atlantis. There's some Atlantean soul group commitment that has chosen to be part of the Jesus bloodline experiment. And I think that's very fascinating, very fascinating.
So as a galactic tracker, you see the patterns, and I think it's unusual, as you have noticed, that people from all over the country will call you,
right?
You know, and you look at their chart and you see this recurring pattern.
Right. It is a recurring pattern, and it makes no difference of what age they are. You'd think that you say all the people were born on February 18th on a certain year would have that pattern. That's true. These people are born just all over the place, you know, from, you know, 1931 on, you know, even to the ones that are, you know, born in the 90s. I'm having a lot of people call me now born in 90 and 91. There's a whole wave of younger people calling me, yeah.
Well, Melinda, have you finished the book?
Oh, yes, and I've ordered the next one. I'm ready to read it.
Okay, so you've had the snap and you're waiting for the crackle and the pop, right?
Yeah, I'm opening. It's just been a process for me. But I'm very grateful for knowing about this book, and now I've got other people reading it and you know, saying you should get your starseed reading.
Right. I think that, you know, I read all three of the books, and the one message that just kept saying it over and over, you know, is that time returns. You know, it's like it's returning back to the time. It's like all these souls are coming back, and that the story of the love that he shared when he was alive, and also no martyrdom anymore. It's not a time for people to kill themselves in the name of spiritual religion. And that was the true message that he left with us. And what's so diabolical is that the Christian faith is really built on that he sacrificed his life for us. And that was not his message at all. So I encourage everyone to, you know, if they can, to pick up the books and read them. It will give them stronger insight to lots of things. And it took her, you know, 20 years to write the first book. And then she wrote it as fiction. And then they tried to kill her anyway. Bless her heart. She had to move her family. So people knew it was true. So just because you're writing it as fiction, didn't really, you know, make her safe. So if anyone would like to call in and tell us your experiences, please do so. Do we have any more callers?
Yeah, we do have.
And thank you so much, Melinda, for sharing this story.
Oh, thank you so much.
We appreciate your time, and thank you for being on the planet.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
I'm going to see if Sierra has a question from the chat room.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Perfect. There are a couple of questions, but they're sort of unrelated to the present topic. Do you want me to go ahead and ask it anyway?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, with you, Lavendar? Yeah.
Okay, first the question there was is they were wanting to know participant wanted to know if Belva or someone else could explain why peanuts are so bad for us.
Oh, well, Belva would be happy to tell you about peanuts.
When she comes on.
When she comes on, yes.
Okay,
I don't
perfect.
Know that, I don't know that she's here yet.
Okay. And then the second question is, there's a participant who knows someone that is dying and is in a nursing home, I believe. Is very passionate about the elderly and wanted to know two different questions. One, if starseeds have, or she in particular has a calling or should be helping this person in passing on. And the other thing is, let me look, wanted to know what about depression? How do you deal? What would be your suggestion to deal with elderly or people who deal with depression?
Lavendar, do you want to take one or both of those questions?
Well, about the person that's passing on, you know, one of the great gifts that we're given is to stand in attendance as a soul is ready to cross over. And we try to make them as comfortable, and we try to give them as much encouragement about where they're going and how beautiful it is to simply, you know, close their eyes and go to another realm. And I think that if that person has that duty or has been called to be in the arc field of a person that's crossing, then it can be a blessing for both. And what was the second question about depression? Say that one again.
How this person could maybe even be called to or help an ongoing problem in elderly homes, you know, retirement homes for elderly dealing with depression.
Well, that's such a tough one because their brains are, a lot of them have gone into dementia. And what I'm finding is there's a lot of walk-ins that have chosen to come. And they'll take the original say, you know, I want out of here. I don't want to live like this. And walk-ins will simply come and say, you know, I need a place just so I can hold the light. And they will exchange places with the elderly in these nursing homes. And you'd be surprised how many walk-ins have this duty. We're talking about thousands at a time. So.
Well, I'm sure that the by the time you are elderly and in a nursing home and perhaps with failing health, I'm sure there's a lot of pharmaceuticals involved.
Yeah.
And that could be part of the reason for the depression, but I think that possibly there's unfinished business or unfulfilled dreams or regrets with family members and, you know, a feeling that it's too late to do anything about it. And on that level, there might be something that a person could help with, even just talking about, you know, perhaps relationships that you know, a lot of times there's rifts that happen in families, and if there's a way that you can, or that the person could help with just with counseling and talking and listening to what might be going on deep inside. So, I mean, it could be a combination of pharmaceuticals and
yes,
unresolved emotional issues. And while you probably can't do anything about the pharmaceuticals at that point, they might be able to help with unresolved issues and have the person write down what they wish they could say to someone and let that person deliver the message for them and give them some peace that way.
Yep, that's good. I just called Belva on the other line. I told her to get on the radio that someone had a question for her.
Okay, good. I'll wait and see for her number to come
yeah,
up.
Okay, I'm going to kind of drop the phone for just a second, okay?
Okay. Well, Sierra, do we have any other questions or comments or anyone in the chat room that has something to say?
Not presently. We can go ahead and ask one more time if there's someone that has a question pertaining to what we're talking about.
Okay. In the meantime, I'd like to ask anybody that if you are on the phone listening to our show and you have a comment or a question, you need to press 1 on your keypad to signal me that you would like to be on the air or that you have a question. And we do. Okay. I will... Lavendar, are you back yet?
I'm back.
Okay. Sierra, I'm going to put you back on hold, and I'll check back with you in a little bit.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
Is Belva
okay.
there?
I'm looking for her home phone number. I don't see it yet, but we do have a question from the 415 area. You're on the air.
Hi, Arielle, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, wonderful. I have a question for both you and Lavendar. This is
okay.
Leela.
Oh, hello, Leela.
Hello. I was wondering what we as Starseeds can do to link in with your being in Arkansas on the 10-10-10 to make it a purposeful event. And maybe you could talk a little bit more about that, maybe what you're doing there, how the Starseeds on Starseed Hotline can connect in and hold grids or be part of that activation.
We will certainly attempt to do that. We just don't know. We have to arrange Internet access to do the show, and we're going to try to do it on Monday while we're there.
I think what she's talking about is the actual event, but there are things that are happening on the planet in the name of crystals. So I think what you're asking for, Leela, is what can the Starseed people
yes.
do on the day of 10-10-10?
On the day of 10-10-10 to link in with you telepathically,
okay.
Setting an intention, whether it's creative visualization or whatever.
Okay, well, first of all, don't be visualizing me. Visualize, you know, quartz crystal and the balancing of quartz crystal all over the planet.
Okay.
Visualize that there are 33 gem PowerPoints, and you don't have to know where they are. Just, you know, take your crystals out in the sun and just hold this energy in your intent for a balancing procedure to happen on the planet that's going to accelerate the next evolutionary jump that crystals are going to make on the planet, because they're about to make one.
Yeah, wonderful.
I had said earlier that, you know, we had a wave of crystal activation in the early 80s, and we're fixing to have another big wave of activation of crystals now, and because now is a time when a lot of people are awake. A lot of people don't know what to do because they're awake, and the crystals have agreed from some time ago to come out of these caves in Arkansas, and simply the codes will be available to the people that are awake. So there's going to be this gigantic crystal craze that's going to happen. Some of it will be out of curiosity. And for those that are curious, nothing will happen for them. For those that are really on the beam and ready for the DNA activation and the RNA activation, absolutely. It'll be automatic. They'll pick up a crystal. They'll go, I don't know why I have to have this crystal. It has to go home with me. It is talking to me. And you know, and some of their friends will go, are you nuts, talking to a crystal? And that crystal will go home with that person, and it'll stay for a while. And then maybe it'll say, no, I have to go somewhere else. And so a friend will come over and say, you know, I feel like I just need to give you this crystal. And it'll walk out the door. And it'll stay with that person for a little. And you know what? This crystal will end up going all over the world before it's through.
Mm-hmm.
Some have permanent homes. Some are traveling gypsies.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, you know, this 10-10-10, it's a moment in time that's going to rev up, because another activation is going to happen on the 18th of October, 17th and 18th. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So right after everybody gets home after the 10th and kind of thinks, you know, that they're settling in, it's kind of like that August harmonic convergence thing that happened with Jose Arguelles. Remember, he talked about the 16th and 17th. Well, nothing really happened until the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what's happening here. Although we do have some gigantic things happening with the 13 skulls at the United Nations coming together on 10-10-10. And, of course, there's a huge activation happening over at Mount Magazine in Arkansas. And I understand that that is totally filled. And I'm not part of that group. I have a private setting at Mount Ida for just a few of us. But, yeah, don't visualize me. Visualize your crystals and the planet. And if you're one of the people that I have sent Giza crystals to, all you have to do is open them up, take them out of the little sack that I sent them in and pour them on a piece of black cloth and go and set them in the sun just for a little while.
Mm. Okay.
And the reason I say pour them on black cloth is because they're clear and you can see them on black, on a dark cloth. Anytime you want to charge them, put them on a red cloth. But for now, put them on a black cloth. I feel like this is just a kind of a wind up. This is the beginning of a gigantic crystal movement that's about to happen. And one reason that it's happening, you see, we're not going to have Atlantis again. We're just not. It's just not permitted. And there's so many souls that came in as a group saying, never again. So a lot of people are real in earnest about this. So did that kind of answer your question about that?
Yes, it did. I was wondering if you could say something about Lake Washita and the crystals that are in there, in that lake in Arkansas.
Yeah. Well, yes, that anybody that swims there, the fish, everything, it's kind of a magical place, and it energizes a lot of people that swim in that lake, because the energies that come up from the crystals that are, you know, on the bottom of the lake and all around,
mm-hmm.
And it's also an ET experimental station.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So Arkansas is a pretty cool place. I haven't been there in a while, but I'm really looking forward to taking this trip. And Leila, you have something you had told me earlier that we want to hear about. Tell us about this new thing you have.
Okay. Back in January, I started to experiment. I work a lot with a mineral called and a crystal called selenite, which is so great for clearing and grounding, and decided to experiment with dissolving selenite because it's so easily dissolved in a crystal vessel, and did a steam distillation with spikenard. And spikenard, as many as probably your listeners know, it is a beautiful herb that was used to anoint Jesus' feet. It's been around for thousands of years. And spikenard is part of the valerian family. And the spikenard that I included in this combination of dissolved selenite crystals is from the Kulu region of the Himalayas in India. And this is where Howard and Helena Roark had their, I think it was a biodynamic farming area many years ago in this particular region. And what I did is take the rhizome, which is the root of the spikenard, and boil it and steam distill it with the dissolved selenite crystals to create sacred sight. I call it a visionary hydrosol. And have been receiving very good results from people all around that I've sold it to in the United States so far. It has the ability to help drop down and go into meditation. It's perfect right before bedtime. People have used it with meditation and journaling and for lucid dreaming. So as far as I know, never before has a mineral or crystal ever been dissolved. Certainly elixirs have been made of crystal stones with purified water and into the biodynamic cycles of the sun and the moon, but never has a crystal been dissolved and used as a hydrosol. And that's what I have. It's called Sacred Site, and I have a label on it. It shows a sphere of selenite called Cell Ignite, Cell Ignition, from
wow.
the pure frequency of the selenite.
Yeah. Well, you said you were going to send me a bottle to Arkansas, so I will. I can't wait to try it. And also, Ariel, we're going to get to try this when we get there. And
I shipped it already today. It's gone.
Okay. And so if we do happen to do a show from Arkansas on Monday, we will have tried it already. And
oh,
we'll
wonderful.
Have a report for our listeners. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. And I'll just say one other thing. If anybody wants to know more about that, they can go to the website called www.thecrystalgiants.com and look under the products link, and they can read all about it.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thanks, Leila.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Well, we have Belva with us now.
Oh, good. Repeat that question for Belva. Hey,
hi,
Belva.
Hi, Belva.
Hi.
We have some people in our chat room that wanted to ask you a question about peanuts.
What's wrong with peanuts?
Well, they grow in the dark, in the dirt.
Could you speak up, please?
They grow in the dark, in dirt, in damp. They don't grow in the sun. The plant grows in the sun. The peanuts are like tumors that grow on the roots of a healthy green plant. And when I was a small child and penicillin came out, my mother made me grow a row of peanuts and showed me. She was a naturopath, and she showed me the peanuts. She says, these are tumors that grow on a plant. They are made out of mold, and remember this and never eat them. And so that was what I learned when I was about 6 or 7.
Wow.
See, a nut grows in the sun. All the nuts that we eat, pecans, walnuts, pistachios, cashews, they all grow in the sun, in the air, in the oxygen, in the sun, and they come in and they're full and healthy and good for us. But peanuts are not good for us.
Because they're not really a nut, and
they
have mold or fungus inside the shell?
It's a legume, but it's just, when you look at it, it looks like a tumor, and it's fuzzy, and it's soft and furry. And then you put it in the sun, and it dries up the shell. It's the shell part tells you that it's moldy.
Yeesh. Well, we have Sierra back from the chat room, and she might have another question for you. So let me just put you back on hold, Belva, and I'm going to see if Sierra has another question for you. Okay, hang on. Okay, Sierra, we're back. Did you hear Belva's?
I sure did, because
okay.
Yes, I sure did, because there was actually another question about mushrooms, but I believe that, and there's another question here, so does that mean we shouldn't eat potatoes then?
I think that's something different, but let me get Belva back.
Perfect, thank you.
Belva, did you hear that?
Potatoes you cook, and you don't eat them. Like you would eat peanuts. They do roast the peanuts, but you're taking a big chance. For me, the same thing with mushrooms. Mushrooms are a fungus. And so when you eat at a salad bar where they slice mushrooms at the same time where they're slicing celery and cucumbers and other things, that mold goes on the board and on the knife. I have a friend that went out and picked mushrooms. Beautiful. She was like a mushroom expert, and she brought a whole basket full out of the mountains here in Colorado and was so excited. And I didn't say anything because I'd already told her, as far as I was concerned, mushrooms were not good for you. You could cook them and then eat them. but not good for you, raw. And she came home and she made this beautiful salad. And before she even got the salad started, just breathing the spores that the mushrooms were shooting out from her picking it, she was in the hospital with double pneumonia and almost died.
Well, your volume is kind of fading in and out, so I'm just going to recap what you said for the chat room, that yes, mushrooms are also a fungus. If you cook them, that's one thing, but you should not eat them raw. And also, I wouldn't even want to eat food that was near raw mushrooms because they were probably sliced with the same knife, like Belva said. So any other questions, health-type questions for Belva while we have her on the line here?
We probably need to do the Bevelation. She did.
Yeah, we will in just a minute.
Okay.
We'll give the people in the chat room time to type. And, Sierra, I'll check back with you in a few minutes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, well, we do have Belva Bloomer, our resident health expert, and we're going to each week be presenting a little segment that we call Belvalations, where she's going to be teaching things that not only Starseed, but everyone in general just needs to know. And this week, the Belvalation is on RNA. So, Belva, I'm going to put you back on hold, and then after I have your segment pre-recorded, then I'll bring you back on for comments or questions.
Right.
Okay, so stay with us.
Mm-hmm. I attended a special doctor's conference last weekend, and we were given information concerning cancer, heart, thyroid, and I want to share some of this with you. Japan experienced a lot of radiation problems after World War II, and since every test given to patients by doctors and dentists here in the United States, mammograms, MRIs, x-rays, each of these bombard the body with radiation. So we now have health problems concerning damage by radiation. They explained how to help organs to regenerate, and one of the things that helps the most is RNA, ribonucleic acid. RNA is a nucleic acid that is found in both the nucleus and the cytoplasm in the cells of plants and animals. It transmits generic instructions from the cell's nucleus to the cytoplasm. The RNA from the cytoplasm works to assemble proteins. RNA carries hereditary information that enables the body to transmit and maintain the genetic coding so that when new cells form, they possess the identical structure and perform the same unique function as their parent cells. So this same hereditary information can also be passed through generations via nucleic acids. Traditional Chinese medicine uses human placenta as the source for harvesting this precious RNA. However, in the modern Western culture, we get our supplemental RNA from dietary sources. One of the richest dietary sources of RNA is found in yeast. Nucleic acids contain the blueprint for cellular renewal and have been shown to slow down the aging process through their ability to reduce the effects of cellular damage caused by free oxygen radicals. The amount of RNA in the human body is depleted by the lack of exercise, internal or external stress, and exposure to pollutants and poor diet. Adequate amounts of RNA in the body are essential to every aspect of good health and longevity. RNA improves the activity of the T and the B cells, That's the body's arsenal of fighting cells that support good health. It also plays a vital role in assisting the macrophage cells that are responsible for cleaning up cellular debris throughout the body. Almost all cellular renewal, growth, and repair falls under the direction of RNA and DNA. Insufficient amounts of RNA in the body can trigger premature aging through cellular degeneration. Supporting the body's ability to reproduce RNA and replenishing the supply of RNA through diet and supplements can really help to maintain overall health and well-being. So to recover from an illness, RNA supports healthy cellular division, repair, and replication. Of course, there are protomorphogen extracts that regenerate individual damaged organs. I used them successfully when I had lymphoma in 1970, and I received the dire prediction of 3 months to live. The replication abilities of RNA have helped my skin to look more youthful already, and I'm looking forward to next month. Now, RNA can be purchased at most of the health food stores. However, I recommend standard processed products to ensure the highest quality in every stage of development, from farming through the shipping. Since 1929, they've been in this business. In 1970, I was diagnosed with lymphoma and given 3 months to live, and I refused chemo and surgery. And in 3 days, a stranger came and recommended Dr. William Donald Kelly and standard processed products. And my education as to the cause of cancer began with a trip to the Canadian border in Washington State. A month passed and another stranger handed me a scrap of paper with Hannah Kroger's name and number, and I called her for an appointment and drove to Boulder, Colorado to meet my next teacher. She taught me to work with saliva, testing each organ, and teaching people how to detox, to repair, to regenerate the individual organs and glands so they were able to overcome disease or damage. I still use Hannah's process. I receive saliva samples from around the world. Her formulas are strict, and standard process products complete the healing without any drugs or surgery. With all of this many lessons, so many lessons, I consider that having cancer was a blessing and an education. For more information, you can visit our website or call 1-888-881-0881 and leave a message for Belva. Thanks again, and I'll be talking to you.
Well, Belva, that I've never heard a lot about RNA and its importance. So I really thank you for teaching us that. And I was having a little trouble. Did you say that a good food source? Did you say it was yeast or meats?
No, I said the RNA comes from yeast.
I still can't hear you. Is it yeast? It's yeast. Yeast. Okay, like in bread?
Well, no,
or are you
one
talking
of
about
the richest dietary sources of RNA is found in yeast, and that's what Standard Process does. When you buy RNA, it comes from yeast.
Oh, I see.
So you buy it in a bottle and not capsules, but pills.
Okay, great. Well, we will have a little Belvalation each week that we're on the air. Belva will pass on more health information, and we thank you so much, Belva, and if you do want to talk to Belva about a particular health issue, just call our website and leave a message, and she will call you back. All right, then. Belva, thank you so much for being with us, and, you know, we love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, what?
I said I'm glad that I was here.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yes. We're glad you're here always. Thanks a lot, Belva. We'll talk
all
to
right.
you soon. All right. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, I'm going to check with Sierra one more time. Hello, Sierra. You're on the air. Okay, are you muted? We can't hear you.
Hello?
Are you there, Sierra?
I am, yes.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
I apologize. We do have a question for Belva, if she's still around or maybe someone else can answer it. We have a listener that's concerned because she's on a raw food diet and wants to know about root vegetables, if they're good for you or not, or do they also need to be cooked?
Root vegetables? We don't have Belva on the line anymore, but I'll tell you what you can do is just send an email with your question to Belva, and you can, I'll tell you what, just you can send it to either Lavendar or I, because I don't have her email memorized right off the bat. She does have an email account with belva@starseedhotline.com, B-E-L-V-A, or you can email either Lavendar, L-A-V-A-N-D-A-R, or myself, R-E-L-A-R-I-E-L-L-E, @starseedhotline.com. Email your question, and I'll make sure that Belva gets it. Okay?
How much more time do we have, Ariel? I don't have a clock
anymore. Oh, well, we have about 15 minutes. If we have anyone else that has a question...
Georgia from Las Vegas, are you listening tonight? If you are, call in and talk to us about your painting that you're doing. If you can hear this, Georgia, call in, okay?
Okay, I will look for her.
At 7:02 when it comes in.
Okay. We do have another question from 7:06 area. 7:06, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Nick.
Hey, Nick.
I don't have a question, but I got a couple comments, if that's
right.
Okay.
Sure.
My understanding is that every year there's a crystal grid activation, and 2 years ago I was down in Arkansas, Lake Ouachita and that whole area, on 08-08-08. And there was a rather remarkable crystal grid activation at that point. And there's some information that I can probably dig up and send to the Starseed for further knowledge on this, But when I was there, I was there with a woman who actually lives in Italy that I met a number of years ago, and she claims that this is her only lifetime. She comes from the central sun, very very evolved being, and we went and we experienced the crystal grid activation, and one of the things that happened, the thing that particularly I remember we were doing a meditation one evening, and it involved doing some of the Merkaba principles, you know, the rotating tetrahedrons and all that. And I actually got to see through the veil, looking at her and looking beyond, and the three-dimensional experience disappeared. It was almost like, you know, in the Matrix movies where you saw all those lines coming down and the energy fields, and you realize, well, God, this isn't real. This is a total illusion, and it was all part of this activation. And again, it happened last year at 09-09. It's going to happen again at, of course, the 10-10, but the 11-11 and the 12-12.
Yes.
So there's a whole series of these crystal grids that are being activated from primarily the crystals were brought from Atlantis and I guess they were just hidden away until the time came where they could be activated.
Well, before you know, Nick, before Atlantis went down, a group left Atlantis, came to the Hot Springs, Arkansas area, and coded some crystals with some very high-tech information that would not be released until later. And the Atlanteans
mm-hmm.
came to the area to mine and get the crystals that they needed to go back to Atlantis. So they knew where the pure crystals were to come to get in the
first place. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know me. I've got thousands of these things around my house. I mean, the house I'm in now in Georgia, I'm bringing all my crystals up from Georgia, and I must have several thousand of them of various
I just had this vision of you not living in Kansas anymore with the house going.
Yeah, I saw the roof coming up off the top a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, it and you know, you walk into this place, and it's like, whoa, it's just something special. I mean, I'm kind of used to it because I'm in it all the time, you know. But there are people who walk in here and go, wow, what's happening here, you know. It's quite amazing. The crystal grids are being activated, and I'm not sure where it's all going, but it's really special.
What state do you live in, Nick? Where are you?
Well, I'm in Georgia now.
You're Georgia.
Just
okay.
Outside of Athens.
Okay.
Well, am I correct? I believe from one of our teleconferences where we had discussed this, that phase one of the crystal activation started on 8-8-0-8, and then each year it gets cranked up to a higher phase with the final culmination at 12-12-12.
Yes, that's exactly right. That is exactly right. And there are various crystals that get activated in these particular time frames.
But also the activation happens when the sun is 26 degrees of the sign, which means in October, on the 17th or 18th of October, the sun will be 26 Libra, which is the extreme activation of the balancing of the crystals with male and female components. You know, you hear about male crystals and female crystals. Well, there's mm-hmm. going to be some kind of arching that happens with the male and female crystals on that date.
Really? Well, that's interesting.
I have several
sets of male and female crystals that I've kept, and I'll have to monitor that and see what happens to the energy of them.
Yeah, they may have babies.
As you know, as long as we're on the subject, I'm going to ask for our listeners there's various kinds of crystals, and we're talking about quartz. Clear quartz crystals right now. Lavendar, how do you tell the difference between like record keepers and ones for energy work, ones for healing work, ones for male, ones female? How do you tell?
I don't know how to. It's something I have to show people. I don't know how to say that without having a demonstration. You have to. Well, like the male crystal, it has a certain way of coming to a point, and the female crystal has a flat surface. This is something you just have to show people. I don't know how to talk about it. I don't have the visualization.
Nick, how about, since you know which ones are which, can you take some pictures and post them on the Starseed forum?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, something, because I was with someone today who asked some questions about identifying crystals, and I think that a lot of people have those questions, and I know there are some, the record keepers have little tiny pyramids all over one face. If you look at it just right in the light.
They have these little diamonds on the side of them.
Right.
The male crystals tend to be more pointed, and where the dominant face of the crystal is pointed. And you can pick up a crystal. It's six-sided. And you can pick up a crystal, and you can tell right away what's the dominant face. In other words, which face is the foremost, the one that would be in the front. And when that particular face is flat, and much larger, it's generally a female crystal. When it's more pointed, triangular shaped, if you will, then that's a male crystal. And I can take some pictures and send them out.
So the male crystals would tend to have each of their six pointed facets be more equal in size and come more to a true point, almost like a six-sided pyramid, whereas the female will have one side that's visibly larger than the others.
The males aren't necessarily equal in size, but it's just when you pick up a crystal, it's like Lavendar says, you almost have to look at it before you can decide what it is. But right away, anybody with a familiarity with crystals, right away you can tell which is the dominant side of the crystal. And like I say, it's more triangular if it's male, and it's flat, and it's actually got, one, two, three, or more like five sides if it's female.
I see. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, Nick, do you have any New York Herkimer diamond crystals?
I do. I have a couple. In fact, I had one in my wallet last night that I happened to pick out that I was given at a hypnosis conference not too long ago by some gal who was talking about crystals. And I had kept that in there for a while along with it. I have three Giza activated crystals that you had given me that I keep in my wallet all the time. They're pasted on a like a little 3x5 card. Well, not even that size, just something that sticks in my wallet and carry that with me all the time.
Nick, if for some reason you just disappear, you've got so much crystal activation going on, you just may wind up on the other earth sometime.
Well, one of the things is I'm a Taurus, and so some of these things I say, oh gosh, I wish I could do all that, but I do a whole lot too, so it's great.
That's true, and I do always want to thank you for being my friend and for being the friend of the Tesla kids and being the patent attorney that you are. To protect their inventions and the way, I just want to let the listeners know that we have somebody that's really looking out for these Tesla kids, and Nick's one of the good guys.
Well, it's
so
part of the mission,
much.
You know.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Nick.
Well,
we only have about 5 minutes left, and I want to check with the chat room one more time, but we appreciate you calling in. I'll look for those pictures on the forum.
Yeah, I will. It was great chatting with you guys.
Okay, thanks.
Take care, sweetie. Bye-bye. I'm going to check with Sierra one more time in the chat room before we sign off. Hello, Sierra.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Perfect. Okay, there is one quick question here from the chat room asking about the next teleclasses. possibly being able to go through an 800 number. There's some people that can't call in. Do you have anything to say about that?
To do a broadcast, is this for people that are international or what?
Yes.
Is that?
Because they can listen to it through the computer, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. If you have access to the internet, you can hear the show by going to blogtalkradio.com/Starseed Radio Academy. And if you register with Blog Talk, they will send you an email and let you know when we will be broadcasting. And you can go to your computer, go to our page, and hear the show live. And I believe they also have a place where you can call in using Skype directly. It's directly connected on our page. And even if you're just on Skype somewhere, you can call the 917-889-8292 number. You can use Skype and call on Skype. I think Google Talk you can call in. And of course,
I'm sorry, Ariel. I just asked if that answered the question, and she said, no, the telecourse is the course, a course. They're talking about a course.
Oh, the teleconference?
The teleconference.
Those are over.
Yeah, we
discontinued the teleconferences when we started the radio show, but we do have an archive on our website where you can hear the ones that you missed. And it's on the headline news page, which you can get to by go to the main page, and across the top there's a scrolling banner. It says click here, headline news. If you do that, it takes you to the page. The teleconferences are there. The last four shows of the radio are there. Video slideshows. That's like the information that keeps changing is on that page, as well as the archives. We may have a teleconference for some special occasion in the future, but we don't have anything planned at this moment. If enough people express an interest, we would that would make a difference.
Okay, yeah, I'm getting responses of yes. They were hoping there'd be more to come.
Oh, listen, we've got so much more yet that's still in the vault that Lavendar is going to be bringing out. And, you know, we're bringing it out little by little as the show goes on, and it's always available. But if we have enough people that email Lavendar at starseedhotline.com and request teleconferences, then we would consider putting another one together. So keep that in mind.
Perfect. One other question.
Okay.
What are the power days for October, the galactic power days?
It will be between the 15th and the 20th.
Probably the 17th or 18th is. I don't have the official.
Those would be the peak days.
Uh-huh.
But usually, it's in the e-book.
Yeah.
We have the star dates for the next year in the e-book, but without looking at the ephemeris right now this minute, for sure the 17th and 18th, and whether it stretches, you know, to the 16th or 15th or 20th, I can't really say, but for sure the 17th and 18th, probably the 16th and the 19th as well, you know, and that's for every month.
We're about to go off the air.
Yes, we are about to say goodbye. We just have 1 minute left, so I want to thank everyone for listening, and we will try to broadcast from the Hot Springs next week. If not, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you to the people in the chat room, and, of course, Sierra, thank you for hosting for us. And we will let you know when we're going to be back, if it's next week or in 2 weeks. Lavendar, thank you so much, as always.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
We'll see you again soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.